Okay, good afternoon, everybody. There is another shiur. I know you've had a whole Baruch Hashem long morning and afternoon of learning. So this is the last day of today's shiur at the Amein Group Special 9 Days program. We are learning Ilui Nishmasa. Sarah Yuta Allah HaShalom Bas Ephraim Menachem Mendel Vadina Sheyichyu and is a Zchus Refuah Shalema for Chaya Rezo Bastina Besoch Sha'ar Cholei Yisrael.
Amen.
So here we are. Okay, Rosh Chodesh Av was on Friday, Erev Shabbos. It was the Yurtzeit of Aaron HaKohen, as we read in the Parsha this week. Parsha's Maasai is always read Erev Rosh Chodesh Av, or coinciding with Rosh Chodesh Av, to remind us of the tafkid of Aaron, of the embodiment of the midos of Aaron, who was an Ohev Shalom, a Rodev Shalom, Ohev Esabrios, and Makarvan the Torah. It was Sinas Chinam, of course, that destroyed by Yesheni. And here we are, almost 2,000 years later. So we are just as at fault for the fact that the Beis Hamikdash lays in ruin, Har Tzion Shashamim Shu'alim Hilchubo, for the fact that Har Tzion lays desolate, that foxes still prowl there. Ad Hayom Hazeh is our responsibility, just like it was responsibility, the Achrayas of the Dor that lived in the time of Churban Beis Hamikdash. I want to talk about something that I'm not sure if you've ever heard a 9-day shiur based on this topic before, but it's actually quite interesting and very enlightening, I hope, and a little bit of a different approach. I'm actually going to Parshas Matos. Okay? This past week, we read 2 Parshios in Chutz La'aretz, Matos Maasai. We have to catch up because Devarim is always read, Erev Tisha B'Av. This year, in fact, Devarim will be read on Tisha B'Av itself because Shabbos is Tisha B'Av. We will fast on Sunday. Matos is always read, well, this year it was read by Rosh Chodesh Av. It's always read during the time period of the 3 weeks. As if Devarim is read Erev Tisha B'Av, then you count back 2 weeks, Matos is always read. And we have a very interesting story in the Parsha that can actually be used as a springboard to explain many lessons into Churban Beis HaMikdash, into our Galus. Perek Lamed Beis tells us a very interesting story. You know, these people are schlepping for 40 years in the desert. The previous generation, the Yotzei Mitzrayim, have all died. Under Moshe's tutelage, the Ba'ei Aretz, the second generation, has been brought to the borders of the Promised Land, and they're mamish ready to cross in. Miriam has died, Parshas Chukas, Aharon has died, also Parshas Chukas, Perachot. Moshe is alone, and he's going to say goodbye to the people. That's Sefer Devarim. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's goodbye letter. In essence, Eila Hadvarim Asher Diber Moshe al Bnei Yisrael. It's Moshe's own words. Perek Lamed Beis. And the B'nai Reuven and the B'nai God have a lot of flocks. They have a lot of cattle. Atzu me'od. They are very wealthy. And they come to Eiver LaYarden. They're on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And they take a look and they say, you know, this is very nice. There's a lot of pasture land. They just spent a couple of weeks in Eretz Yisrael. There's a lot of dirt. There's a lot of dust. There's a lot of rocky hills. There's Midbar Yehuda. There's Be'er Sheva. And they come. They're on Eiver LaYarden. They're just almost in Eretz Yisrael. And they say, you know, wow, look at all this pasture land. It's gorgeous here. Sometimes we look at Galus. And we also, Chutz La'aretz, we say, wow, it's really nice here. Why would I want to go over there? A question maybe, especially during this time, maybe I need to ask myself, why, Taka, am I on the other side of the Yarden? And they have the gall to approach Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say straight out, you know, if we have found favor in your eyes, Al ta'avireinu es ha'yarden. We don't want to go to the other side of the Yarden River. And now Moshe, Mipnei Mandis Ava Moshe Rabbeinu Li Kanes La'aretz, Sota Yudalet Amar Aleph. Why did Moshe want to go into Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara? Mechila Echa Mipir Yahu Tzarich. He wanted to taste the good fruit of Eretz Yisrael. Mechila Sboa Mituvahu Tzarich. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be satiated from the fullness of the land. Ela harbe mitzvos nitzav Yisrael ve'ena miskayimin ala ba'aretz. So many mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz can only be done in Eretz Yisrael. And he daven, next week is Va'eschanan. Va'eschanan al Hashem ba'es alihi le'mar. You have begun to show your servant your great wonders, your outstretched hand. Please, can I cross over? I want to go in. He's not allowed. And the B'nai God and the B'nai Reuven approach Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, you know, we would like to stay here. Thank you so much. Please don't let us cross the Jordan. So Moshe is horrified. And he says famous words, Ha'achecham yavola mechama va'atam teshbufo. Are you kidding me? They're about to go meet the seven Canaanite nations. They're going into battle. You're going to sit in the comfort of green pasture land. The grass is always greener on the other side. Pun is intended. You're going to stay here because it's such comfortable gashmius. And they're going to battle. Why are you doing this? You're going to turn the hearts of the people. This is what your father did. God slept us around the desert 40 years. You're doing the same thing. He's very upset. And after some negotiation, they come up with a deal. The deal is that the B'nai God and the B'nai Reuven have to, Nachnu na'avor chalutzim, they will go before their brothers, they will help conquer and divide the land, they will not return back to Eivor LaYarden until the land is conquered and the people are settled, they will build enclosures for their children and their families and their flocks, and only after they conquer the land, they'll come back to Eivor LaYarden. Okay. And Moshe agrees. I want to talk about one specific nekuda about this. Nachnu na'avor chalutzim lefnei Hashem Eretz Canaan. We will go up armed before God to the land of Canaan. And we will have our portion on Eivor LaYarden. Vayitein lahem Moshe livnei God ve'livnei Reuven. And Moshe gave the tribe of God and the tribe of Reuven. Ve'lachatzi shevet Menasha. I'm in Parak Lamed Beis, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. And to half the tribe of Menasha, Ben Yosef, the son of Yosef, the kingdom on the other side of the river. Very strange. You have a whole long Parak. You have 32 psukim of negotiation between Moshe and the B'nai God and the B'nai Reuven, and they work out a deal. And Moshe gives the B'nai God, the B'nai Reuven, and Chatzi, Shevet, Menashe, Ben Yosef, the land on the other side. Why? It's a very big question. I'm sure you've heard Divrei Torah about this. I'm sure maybe you even heard Shiurim about this. I want to take an approach of lessons specifically for the 3 weeks. Because like we said, this parsha is always read during the 3 weeks. We read it already during the 9 days. If the parshas would be split up, it would still be read after Shiva Sar Batamas. This is one of the lessons that means of Bein HaMitzarim. The parashios and where they are read is not an accident. Okay? Devarim is always read Erev Tisha B'Av. Eschanan is always read Shabbos Nachamu. Certain parashios must fall at certain times. It's not an accident. So this is one of the parashios of Bein HaMitzarim. Between the straits, this time period of the 3 weeks, why? Why the B'nai Menashe? They have not requested a portion in the land on the other side of the Jordan River. It seems very random. In fact, to contrast, what's very, very fascinating is not only that, but we know that there's another group who comes from Menashe who loves the land. Oh, Perachov Zion, by the way, the whole Sefer Bamidbar ends talking about the Benot Slavcha. But Tikravna Benot Slavcha, the daughters of Slavcha, he had 5 daughters, he died without sons, they come. Ben Chefer, Ben Gilad, Ben Machir, Ben Menashe, Lemishpichos Menashe, Ben Yosef. So these 5 daughters come, Machla, Noah, Chaga, Milcah, Tirza. They come before Moshe, and they come before the Nesim, and they say, our father died without children. We want a portion in the land. So we know that Menashe, it seems to be that they are somehow being punished here by B'nai God and B'nai Reuven, and we know that Menashe loves the land very much. Many of you may have heard the famous, I don't know if it's famous, but it's an important Kli Yakar. Very interesting kliyakar in the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel of Bamidbar, Shlach Lecha Anashim Ve'asuras Eretz Kanan, Asher Ninosim Vifnei Yisrael, Ish Echad, the Matei Avos of Tishlichu Osam, it's time to send the spies. We know that the spies' mission was the first, Tisha Ba'av, Vatisa Kala Eda, Vayidu Eskolam, Vayivku, and Balayla, 14:1, they sit down and they say, Eretz Yisrael is terrible, everyone's dying, the fruits are for giants, we're like grasshoppers. And the Gemara says, Atem Bechisim, Atainis, Bechisim, so the mission of the spies is intrinsically linked. It's the first Tisha B'Av. So the Kliyakar says something amazing on Shlach Lecha Anashim V'Yasura Eretz Kanan. Why does it say send for yourself men? So the Kliyakar gives four or five different very interesting interpretations. But one of the things he says is Anashim men L'da'ati, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. What's wrong?
Is that your phone?
My phone? It's on a recorder. So the Kliyakar says, "Lada'ati yoter tov lishloach nashim hamechababos es haaretz." The Kliyakar says, according to my opinion, I'm not making this up. You could all go look it up. 13:2, Parakid Gimel Pasuk Beis. Lada'ati yoter tov lishloach nashim hamechababos es haaretz. I think, says God, "Shlach lecha nashim." You want to send males? Here, the interpretation is literally gender. You want to send males? Let's see how that works out. If you ask me, says God, I think it's better to send females, women. That's literally what the Kliyakar writes, because they love the land. The men rejected the land. Nitna rosh v'nashuva mitzrayim. The men reject the land. And the women say, tunu lanu achuza. Who's that? The benot slavcha. They want the land. They love Eretz Yisrael. So this strengthens our question as to why Menashe Davka is the tribe that is chosen, only half the tribe to stay on Eber LeYarden, B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven. We're going to propose three different answers, and these three different answers are all intrinsically linked to lessons surrounding Bein HaMitzarim, the 9 days, and lessons for Tisha B'Av. First reason, this comes by from my son. I heard it from my son, Shmuel. So Shmuel said, he learned that it's because of brotherly love. What do I mean? If you look through the whole book of Bereishis, I'm not telling you a chiddush here, everybody is aware of this. Book of Bereishis doesn't go so well for ahava between siblings. The first two brothers, the first two siblings in the history of mankind, it was quite a disaster. They bring two different offerings, and one Cain kills Hevel because God doesn't turn to his offering. God turns to his offering. That didn't go over so well. We know that Avram's siblings were idol worshippers, and they split ways. We come to the Avos, and we have Machlokes, if you will, between Yitzchak and Yishmael, between Yaakov and Esav. He has to run away. He wants to kill him. His mother sends him away. Now, you could say that's exterior hatred. By the time you get to Perek Lamed Zayin in Bereishis, it's now internal. Yosef has dreams, and he's 17, and the brothers can't stand him. The son of the loved wife is now more loved than his brothers, and they hate the Ksonis Pasim, and they hate his dreams. The first galus in our history is a foreshadowing of all other galus. Why was Yosef sold? Why did we go down to Egypt? Because of sin between brothers. It wasn't because Yaakov and Esav were in a fight that we went down to Galus. It wasn't because Yitzchak and Yishmael were in a fight that we went down to Galus. We went down to Galus because Hine Baal HaChalamos HaLazah Baal L'chuvin Argenu. So when brothers can't speak in peace, let's go kill him. Let's throw him into the pit. Let's sell him. Wash our hands clean. Let's sit down and have some bread while he's disappearing off the horizon in a caravan to the slave block in Egypt. So then we come to Menashe and Ephraim. And I know I'm not telling you a chiddush. I know you're aware of this. All the way at the end of the book of Bereishis. And you finally come to two brothers who actually get along. There is actually ahava. They can forgive each other's success. Oh, grandfather switched his hand, and even though I'm the older, I get the second bracha. It's okay. I can forgive somebody else's success. I can look at my brother with love. I can say that even though we might be different and have different needs, and we're in Galus and we have challenges, first brothers who don't want to kill each other. The end of Bereishis. The first brothers who don't want to kill each other. Menashe and Ephraim. Menashe was the Bechor. So he has a certain responsibility. So Moshe knows that B'nai God and B'nai Reuven want to stay on Eivor LeYarden. Sometimes we live in Galus or Chutz La'aretz, either by choice or not by choice. The reality is that we too live in Chutz La'aretz. Whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing, right now this is where we live. And we have to ask ourselves, what is the glue that binds us together? At the end of his life, they asked Rav Kook Zatzal why he loved all the other Jews. He loved, Shomer Tzair? Shomer Tzair, the totally not religious, atheist pioneers. He loved the Zionists. He loved the Haredim who would throw garbage on him. He loved everybody. And he said, when I get up, Admeiv Eshim Shana, I would rather be accused of a Havas Chinam than Sinas Chinam. B'nai Menashe have a very important role to fill. If they're going to stay, these two tribes on Eivor LeYarden, it's very hard, it's very easy to lose connection with your brother. Some of us may be aware of that. Distance is not always easy to overcome. And sometimes we feel, here I mean geographic distance or hashkafic difference. And sometimes we feel when people are distant from us, that we lack a sense of brotherhood. We lack a sense, oh, that's what you were looking for. That's what the answer is. Okay. Okay. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam shehakol nehiya bedvarav.
Amen.
And sometimes when there is distance between brothers, B'nai God and B'nai Reuven, we're going to be on the other side. And it's not always so easy to maintain a relationship of ahava between brothers when you're on the other side. So Moshe says, who can I choose? Who is the, how do you say, your paradigm? Paradigm? Yes? Yeah. Of a symbol, the epitome of one who was not jealous, of one who loved his brothers, of one who knows how to maintain kesher. B'nai Menashe. It represents ahavas achim. You don't need to be exactly like your brother to love them. It doesn't mean that hashkafically we necessarily agree with everything that our brother does. It's okay to disagree if something is really, we're not talking about matters of Chil Shabbos, we don't have to give in, but to love the other person because they are my brother. You all know the famous Gemara told over in Gittin. Because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. There was a certain man who had a friend named Kamsa and an enemy named Bar Kamsa. We were talking about this at the Shabbos table the other week. So I said, sometimes I have trouble remembering who's the friend. Maybe you do also. I don't know. And who's the enemy? So one of my kids says, it was great, Bar. We're not allowed to go into a bar. So Bar was the enemy. I said, it works for me. The true story. Okay, so now I remember that Bar, that's the one you're banished from. Bar Kamsa was the enemy. So the man says to the servant, go tell Kamsa to come to my party. The servant goes and he invites Bar Kamsa. Bar Kamsa must have been so happy. Their enemy is, maybe he thinks, the host wants to reconcile. The host is walking around the party and who does he see? Bar Kamsa. He says, hey you, you're my enemy. Get out. Bar Kamsa says, I will pay for my food. The host says, get out. Bar Kamsa says, I will pay for half the party. Get out. I will pay for the entire party. Don't embarrass me. And the host said, he took him by the hand and he slept him out. Bar Kamsa says, because the rabbis were there and they did not say anything, they did not defend me, they did not stand up for me, it must be their maskim. Shtika kohoda, silence is acquiescence. They are cultivating sinas chinam. I'm going to inform to the government. He went to the emperor. The Jews are rebelling against you. The emperor said, how do you know? Bar Kamsa said, send them an animal for an offering. Let's see if they accept it. On the way, Bar Kamsa made a blemish. Difference of opinion in the Gemara, exactly where he made the blemish. Blemish animals with this blemish are not offered on the korban. They come out to Beis HaMikdash, and they refuse to offer the korban. And the emperor says, the Jews are talking, rebelling against me. And I saw a short video clip of Eli Malach Biederman last week, a couple-minute clip, and he told a story of the Havas Chinim in our day and age, and he said something that made such an impression on me. I think I already told this over in 3 or 4 venues. But Biederman said, if one Jew could destroy the Beis HaMikdash, then one Jew can build the Beis HaMikdash. We have to take the lesson of the B'nai Menashe. They didn't do anything wrong that they were kicked out to Chutz Lartz. It's a zchus. You know how to get along? You will set the example. You know how to maintain a kesher despite distance? Because we know that distance causes divide, and distance causes absence, and distance often causes a breach of the relationship. If you know how to get along, we're sending you there to be an example. Beautiful pasuk in Tehillim. Shir HaMalos LeDavid, a song of ascents for David, Kuf Lamed Gimel. Hine Matov Umanayim Shabbos Achim Gam Yachad. It is so good. It is so pleasant when brothers dwell together. Then the Kapitel actually goes on to talk about Aaron and the Midos of Aaron. Aaron knew how brothers should dwell together, like the dew of the Hermon. I just saw the snow in the Hermon on July, that drips into the mountains of Tzion, because that is where God commanded bracha from. Shir HaMalos LeDavid, Hine Matov Umanayim Shevas Achim Gam Yachad. So I heard a tremendous vart. Such a beautiful vart. By Rav Meir Goldwich's daughter. Okay, I was out west this past fall a couple of times at a high school Shabbaton. And Rav Meir Goldwich's daughter told this word over in the name of her father. Hine matov umanayim shevas achim gam yachad. What's gam? Just say, hine matov umanayim shevas achim yachad. You understand? How good, how pleasant, even when, what's the gam yachad? So she said, yachad is an acronym. Yesh chiluke deot. Yesh chiluke deot. That even when there is a difference of opinion, we go in the ways the Kapitel goes on, Kuflam Gimel, to talk about the midos of Aaron and the oil that drips on to his beard, the man of Shalom, whose yurt, you think it was an accident that his yurt say was Friday, and then we go and we read this parsha and this story, also on Shabbos. Hine matov umanayim shevas achim gam yachad, that even when yesh chiluke deos, we have to ask ourselves, do we allow distance, whether it's geographic distance or religious distance. I'm not saying we should be masking with Chil Shabbos, Chas V'Shav. I'm not saying we should be masking with Aveira, not at all. But we have to accept a person for being a Banim of Makom. Shevas Achim Gam Yachad. We're only brothers if we acknowledge that the Ribbono Shel Olam is my father and the Ribbono Shel Olam is his father. God's not only my father, he's not only my Mahalach. Rabbanei Menashe have an important task. You will keep B'nai God and B'nai Reuven connected to Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael. Reason number 2. Yosef. By the way, it's very interesting that when it says Vayitein Moshe B'nai God of B'nai Reuven V'lachatzi Shevet Menashe Ben Yosef Aseret Hagilah, why does it make a point of saying Menashe Ben Yosef? We don't know Menashe Ben Yosef. The Torah expects you to remember this all the way from Bereishis. And then when it lists the lineage of the Bnos Slavchad, we already know Menashe's Ben Yosef. Nothing in the Torah is superfluous. So that means it's telling us B'nai Yosef, Ben Yosef, for a specific reason. More than telling me that Menashe comes from Yosef. Everybody knows that Menashe comes from Yosef. What was it about Yosef that warrants mention when the B'nai Menashe are appointed Chatzi Shevet to the other side? Yosef, amazing. Some of you know from learning with me how much I enjoy the parshas that deal with Yosef. I'll tell you a cute story. Someone this past Hanukkah gave me a very unique and amazing gift. a sketch. You know, they make sketches of Rabbanim, not only pictures, a sketch of Rav Soloveitchik. So I was really very taken and very surprised. It was very unique and very appreciated. But what she said is, I couldn't find a picture of Yosef, so I got you this instead. Yosef's an amazing, amazing, amazing personality. We could have shiurim and shiurim and shiurim just on Yosef. But I want to talk about one nekuda as a lesson now for the 3 weeks, 9 days, related to this Chatzi Shevet Menashe being sent to the other side, Ben Yosef. At the age of 17, Yosef is sold. Very tragic. His brothers can't speak to him in peace. We already mentioned that that's the foreshadowing of all Golios. Ayesheni b'pnei macharav. Shahayu oskim b'torah b'mitzvos u'gmilas chasadim. Yuma, Tess, Amud Beis. Famous Gemara, the first base of Mikdash was destroyed because of Shvichus Damim, Gila Arayis, and Avodah Zarah. And then the Gemara says, why was the second temple destroyed? That's not only what the Gemara says. Most of us don't remember what the Gemara says first. The Gemara says, by Yesheni, Shahayu Oskim, B'Torah, B'Mitzos, B'Gmilas Chasadim, B'Mnei Macharav. Did you know that? That's there? Go look it up. Yuma 90. The Gemara tells you that in the time of by Yesheni, they had a lot of yeshivos, Torah, Oskim B'Torah, I'm not making this up. The mitzvos, the gemilas chasadim, but they were like the chasida. They did chasad only with their own kind. They forgot about brotherly love. Mipnei macharav, says the Gemara. Mipnei shahaisav osin eschinim. It's possible to live in a society full of Torah, mitzvos, and gemilas chasadim, and still have sin eschinim. Yosef was the foreshadowing to all of this. And after the age of 17, he lives his entire life in Mitzrayim. Yosef is a Galus Jew. Except for 1 week, when he goes back to fulfill his father's dying wish. What was his father's dying wish? Take me back to the Ma'arza Machpelah that I purchased, where Leah is buried, Shem Kuvarti is Leah, where Avram and Sarah are buried, Adam and Isha, Chava. Aside for that 1 week, and Yosef had to get permission from Paro. He's the viceroy, I say by Yosef, he's the COO, CFO, and CEO, Chief Financial Officer, Chief Operating Officer, and Chief Executive Officer. He is condemned, if you will, to be a Galus Jew. And sometimes, when we live in Chutz La'aretz, we forget where our real home is. Sometimes we become too accustomed to the comforts, the green grass. I have a lot of flocks. It's so beautiful. We forget where we really belong. Again, why we live in Chutz La'aretz, whether it's right or it's wrong. The reality is that from time immemorial, from time mamish immemorial, Jews have been living in Chutz La'aretz. Why B'nai Menashe, Chatzi Shevet Menashe, Ben Yosef? What was Yosef's dying wish? The last words, his last will and testament, his tzava. What did he want? Did he talk about what should happen to his golden chain? Did he talk about what should happen to his palace? Did he talk about who should get the chariot? Did he talk about the kingly robes that he wore? Did he talk about all the money he managed to stock on his bank account, if he had one? That was his dying wish. He's about from the age of 17. He was very young. That's an impressionable age. He did not live in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, what am I saying? He wasn't born in Eretz Yisrael either. He was born in Lewis. It was only after he was born that takes 2 years to get home. So how long did he already even live there for? Not so long. Vayash be Yosef es achav leimor. Pakod yivkod Elokim eschem. He makes an oath to his brothers. God will save you. Ani ma'amin be'amuna shalema be'vias ha-mashiach. It's going to take a while. Mitzrayim wasn't such a short galus. They were there for a total of 210 years. But I swear, I promise, the magic words are, Pakod yivkod. You will be redeemed. That's very nice. Maybe that should be the end. He had one request. Va'alisam es atzmosai mizeh itchem. I don't know when you're going to get out of here, but I guarantee you that God will not abandon us in Gaza. He will not leave us forever in Chutz Aretz. We will go back. Horror of horrors to leave me here, even if it's after 200 years, and then I'm going to be schlepped around the Midbar for 40 years. Don't leave me here. This is not my place. This is not my land. This is not my home. This is not where I belong. Is there a more poignant message for the 9 days, for Tisha B'Av? Mipnei chata'inu galinu me'artzenu. V'nisrachaknu me'al admasenu. What do we say? Because of our sins. We just mentioned the sins from Yuma Tas Amad Beis. Shvichus damim gilei rais avod azar sinas chinam. Gemara then there says, Gemara asks the question, there was no sin eschinim in the time of Bais Rishon. The Gemara says there was. Eilu b'nei Adam sha'ochlim v'shosin zayim zay v'dokrin et zay zay b'char vot sha'bilashonam. In the time of Bais Rishon, there was a lot of Lashon Hara, apparently. People ate and drank together, and they would stab one another with the spears of their tongue. So the Gemara says, mipnei chata'inu galinu me'artzenu. We have sinned, and so we have been exiled from our land. But do not adopt the new land as your home and as your place. We have tremendous hakaras hatov to any land that allows us to live as free Jews. We have to be law-abiding, faithful, appreciative, contributing citizens. But where do I belong? Where's my home? The B'nai God and the B'nai Reuven were choosing to stay on Eivor LeYarden. My grandparents, our families, they didn't have a choice where to go. They were choosing. So Moshe says, we need a constant reminder. Menashe ben Yosef. Because Yosef's last dying wish, don't leave me. Antaka, the Medrash says, on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Jews are packing on Karban Pesach and they're getting ready. And where's Moshe? Alei Shur. Moshe is where? By the Nilus River. He has an obligation to bring Yosef back. Why Moshe, by the way? Point of interest. He's from the tribe of Levi. Who sold Yosef? Who was in charge of instigating this whole thing? Shimon and Levi. Rabbi Lau, in his Out of the Depths of Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita, tells the following story. Rabbi Lau was one of the most famous child survivors, survived the camps, Buchenwald. He says at one point, it was him and his brother Naftali, who was known as Tulik. He, Yisrael Meir Lau, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, was known as a child as Lulik. It was only Lulik, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, and Tulik, his brother Naftali. And they were left. The rest of the family had been Shanirtzuchu, Vishanahargu, Al Kiddush Hashem. And Naftali was being transferred somewhere. Lulek was not even 8 years old. His education, his Jewish education, was interrupted by the Holocaust, by the wicked Nazis, Yimach Shoam D'Zichram. And he said his brother arranged a meeting with him. It's in his book. Behind the barracks. Tulek, Naftali arranged a meeting with Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, Lulek. Behind the barracks, outside of the penetrating gaze of the officers, they managed to find a place where there were no SS standing guard. And Yisrael Meir Lau writes, I knew not one word of Hebrew. He was a very young child when the Nazis came. He came from a family of Rabbanim, generations of Rabbanim. He said, my brother called me over. And he said to me, Lulek, they're taking me. I can't be sure, but I don't know if from where they're taking me, I will ever see you again. Mother, we don't know where she is. I'm sure she thinks of us all the time. Father, he was taken. Milak, another brother, we don't know. You're a big boy now, Lulek. Rav Lau writes, he wasn't even 8 years old. You're a big boy now, Luluk. You're going to be alone. If by some miracle you survive this, I want to tell you, there is a place called Eretz Yisrael. And if you get out of here, remember those two words. Eretz Yisrael. Rav Lau says, I knew not one word of Hebrew. But I repeated those two words. And my brother said, you're a nice kid. There are people here who will want to save you. They might want to take you to other places. America, Canada, you remember. Nowhere, Luluk, except Eretz Yisrael. And with that, Tuluk walked away. Rabbi Lau writes, they both survived. His brother remembers his heart-rending sobs, his last will and testament, his last Masorah. Moshe was told that the burning bush, by the way, look in Perek Gimel of Shmos, before he was told about Matan Torah, Moshe is told, I'm taking these people out, you're going to be my emissary, we're going to the Zavas Chalav Udvash. The first thing Moshe was told. Yosef never forgot that Masorah. For whatever reason, he too was a Chutz La'aretz Jew. He too was a Galus Jew. He was born in Luz. He was very short time in Eretz Yisrael. He managed to pass on to his children and to all of us the understanding of where our place is, of where we belong. You know, my nephew, my 6.5-year-old nephew, slept over the Shabbos before last. Very cute, Kenai Nahar. Baruch Hashem is going to first grade in Darche. So my husband and my nephew were walking to Shul on Shabbos. And they were holding hands. We just spent 2 weeks in Eretz Yisrael, the last week of June, first week in July. I was zochah to be there for 2 weeks. So my nephew and my husband are walking to Shul. They're holding hands. And my nephew says to my husband, with all the innocence of a 6-year-old child, who's never been to Eretz Yisrael, so tell me, Uncle Moshe, when you went to Yerushalayim, how many bricks did you see in the Beis HaMikdash? No, it's a true story. So my husband says, Yoshua, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So my nephew says, I thought every time you do a mitzvah, it's another brick in the Beis HaMikdash. We have to ask ourselves if we have any of that emunah peshuta left. If we have any of that childhood sincere connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam through Eretz Yisrael left. Where is our home? We need to ask ourselves, where is our home? Why do B'nai God and B'nai Ruvain want to stay there? Because there's a lot of pasture. You know why? Because it's gashmiistic. It's good. So Moshe came up with a compromise. That's a whole different shir as to why they're allowed to stay there. That's not today's focus. So he takes half a tribe of Menashe, HaMechabebos Es Haaretz. Remember we quoted the Kliyakar? Remember we talked about the Menot Slavchad? What did Menashe manage to pass on through the generations? Ahavas, Eretz, Yisrael. Yosef's last request was, don't leave me here. Tuluk to Luluk, last will and testament. Remember two words. Eretz Yisrael. We have to ask ourselves, when we go to Eretz Yisrael today, do we expect to see the Beis HaMikdash? Do we hope that we're going to go and be able to count the bricks? My grandfather wrote in his memoirs, his Holocaust memoirs, it was written in Yiddish, it was in the Yeshivas Chachamei Lublin, my grandfather, Lav Hashem. And he wrote that they lay on the barracks after a night of slave labor. And they said, whoever survives this hell, it was Yiddish, whoever survives this Gehenim will live to see a Jewish state. Whoever survives this Gehenim will live to see Mashiach. We have to ask ourselves, are we connected? But Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld Zasal says something very powerful. Mipnei chataeinu galinu me'artzeinu. Because of our sins, we have just mentioned them. We have been kicked out. We're in Galus. What is v'nisrachaknu me'al admasenu? So Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld says it's something else. It means v'nisrachaknu. We have made ourselves far from our land. It's not the same thing. We have been kicked out. V'nisrachaknu me'al admasenu. We have forgotten where our real place is. Moshe takes of the name Menashe And he says, you have a very important tafkid to transfer that love of where we really belong to the B'nai Reuven and the B'nai God. So he said, we're giving three reasons. The first reason we said was Ahavas Achim. Do not let distance, whether it's geographic distance or hashkafic difference, separate between brothers. Reason number one. Reason number two, Yosef had a tremendous love for Eretz Yisrael. And finally, reason number three. This is based on a piece by Salvation. Very, very fascinating. The Rav says about Yosef, you know, Sefer Bereishis is known as Sefer HaSimanim. Why? Kol Masha Ira La'avos Siman Lebanim. Okay, it's known as Sefer Yitzira, Sefer Yashar, Sefer HaSimanim. Why Sefer HaSimanim? The book of omens, the book of signs. Kol Masha Ira La'avo, quoted by the Ramban, to Bereishis 12:6, Siman Lebanim. Everything that happened to the forefathers happens to the future generations. So that means every single thing we experience is in Sefer Bereishis. So the Rav Salvechik asks, why did the Hashkacha need Yosef to be in Galus? Talking about Galus Jews, Yosef was in Galus. Why? We already have Yaakov. Yaakov, im Lavan Garthi Vatayek Shamarti. We have Lavan, who for 20 years plus 2 years old, who's already in Galus. So if you want to take one of our patriarchs and say the path they walk is the path we will walk, so you already have a Galus of Yaakov Avinu. So what do you need? Yes, time to torture him? Stam to pull him away from his brothers. Stam, so according to some Mefarshim, he thought his father was in on the sale. I didn't need Yosef. You already have a Jew, an Av, who proves Yahadis can survive in Galus. Who is that? Yaakov. So Soloveitchik brilliantly answers, and he says, there are two types of Galios that Am Yisrael faces. The first type of Galus is the Galus of Yaakov. That is called the galus of poverty, the galus of affliction, the galus of habinos, binosai, hatson, soni, habanim, banai, v'choshe, ataro, elihu. The galus of the taskmaster. When they try and steal our wares, turn in your bank account, your radio, your bicycle, nothing is yours. The galus of European shtatluch, when Rachman Letzlan Hashem Yerachim Eleinu, the Cossacks came parading through the town. And they want to kill everybody and everything. Lavan proves, says the Rav, hatred of the Jew can reach psychopathic proportions. How do we begin, in fact, in the Haggadah? We don't begin with Paro. Who do we begin with? Arami Oved Avi. Why did we have to leave Lavan? Because, says the Rav, if we would have stayed by Lavan, Am Yisrael would have been lost. By Yered Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim is better. Could you imagine that, Lavan? Lavan is the galus of poverty. Can Yahadus survive a galus of poverty? What does Yaakov prove? Yes. Im Lavan Garti Va'acher Ad Ata. And what does Rashi famously say? Taryug Mitzvah Shamarti. Well, it's just a trick. You just want to switch around the letters from Garti to Taryug. No. He's saying that Yahadus can survive a galus of poverty. You can be a Jew, even when it's very difficult. What's the difference between Yosef's galus and the galus of Yaakov? Oh. If Yaakov was a galus of poverty, Yosef's galus was the exact opposite. It's a galus of wealth. And the question is, can Yahadus survive a galus of affluence, a galus of wealth, a galus where we take foreign names? He had a new name, he was Egyptian. Tzvanas Paneach. A galus where we're integrated fully and accepted and needed and wanted by society. A galus where we have wealth and riches and we lack for nothing. Can Yahadus survive such a galus? It's interesting. Historically, when has Yahadus done better? In a galus of poverty or a galus of wealth? Poverty. And the doors open. And we have equalization, and I'm not asking chas v'shalom for persecution, even though if anybody follows the news, I'm saying the Jewish news, it's not in such a good place right now, it's frightening. Historically, Rav Salvechik points out, history points out, Yahadus has always done better where? In a galus of?
Poverty.
What does Yosef come and prove that even when It's a goddess of affluence. Why did B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven want to stay there? Economic reasons. Why do many of us stay here? Economic reasons. If we want to call a spade, that even when you're in a goddess of wealth, Yosef proves that Yahadus can survive. And so Moshe chooses Chatzi B'nai Menashe to remind B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven, and remind all of us where our values must be, where our priorities are, where our heart and our mind lies. And something we all have to ask ourselves. When we read this story, when we read this parsha, we need to ask ourselves, did we learn the lessons of the B'nai Menashe, of the Chatzi B'nai Menashe? Do we love our brothers despite distance? Remember what Biderman says, if one Jew, he told the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, could destroy the Beis HaMikdash, what Biderman says, then one Jew can build the Beis HaMikdash. Do we maintain that kesher like Ephraim and Menashe? Do we forgive our brother's success? Do we rejoice for others? Do we accept other Jews? We need to ask ourselves. I'm talking to Micha Horowitz. I need to ask myself. I need to ask myself where my heart lies. It's true. I might live in Chutz La'aretz. But where do I really belong? One second. Where do I really belong? And finally, Baruch Hashem, we live in a galus of freedom. And we live in a galus, in general, a galus of affluence. And we live in a country that accepts us and opens the doors, and we're not banned from universities. And we're accepted and we're tolerated, perhaps. And we have to make sure that Yahadus will always survive. So as we approach Tisha B'Av, Halavai, we should be the one Jew. Imagine if everybody here is the one Jew who zocha to bring the Geula Shlema. We will be zocha to go to Eretz Yisrael, and we'll actually be able to count the bricks on the base of Mikdash B'mehera B'Yameinu. Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.